Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside.
And when the copy was being made, I told Mr. McCaslin and Bart Siders, this is a lot of personal stuff, but I know there's public records on here. This was after COVID, related to COVID. There were a lot of attorney-client privileged conversations, a lot, again, personal stuff, a lot of stuff about employees that I supervise at the base. And I asked them to delete the copies. There is no requirement under Florida statutes that a public record, that duplicate copies of a public record be maintained. I was the custodian of this record. I am the custodian of the record.
Well, okay. So Commissioner Jeff Bergosh, in this long, hour-long conversation about his text messages in the case where the judges ruled that the county, in pursuing to recover these text messages, was actually engaged in a strategic lawsuit against public participation, a slap suit, which is illegal in Florida. That's why they're having to pay the attorney's fees from P&J, Alex Arduini, and Jonathan Owens. That's why there are other sanctions potentially coming, including making the attorney himself actually pay. That has to do with a slightly different provision of the law. We'll see what happens when the judge makes a ruling about that. But the county commissioners were taking up this question of paying out $100,000 to these three attorneys, and Jeff was saying, no, we're not going to do that. And then he goes through this long TikTok explanation of what happened. His view, as I mentioned to you last hour, I've talked to some people, and I think that an awful lot of what Jeff said was false and or outright lies. Which is not surprising to me because, you know, he's really good at the lying. I mean, you know, I told you this before. I mean, I honestly, it's impressive to me sometimes when I think about how good he is at it. But yeah, saying things that are, like I said, I believe to be false. Okay. Things like that, you know, he just went to the county and they had a program laying around that could help him. No, they had to go buy the program. That, you know, Apple gave him all of these directions on how to get, well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Or that he told them to destroy the copy, which he did not. And I mean, he says he did repeatedly, but just because you say it a bunch, that doesn't make it true. And even if he had, it's now on the county servers. It's a public record. They're not going to be destroying that. Okay. And he doesn't have the authority to tell them anyway to do that if he did. But we go on. Okay. He says,
I just deleted it. Taken the easy road, my life would have been a lot easier, right? My life would have been a lot different, but I would not have been able to answer those public records requests. So I did this all for the right reasons. I was trying to preserve public records.
Now, that part actually is correct, that the basic idea here of preserving the public records, that's right. And, you know, the vast majority of this stuff was public record. I mean, God, who knows how much, but you know, looking at the redacted stuff that's, you know, a lot of people still think is public, should be, but was redacted inappropriately, you know, well more than half. I mean, we're talking out of 60,000 text messages, you know, somewhere in the order of like 30 or 40,000 are public record. Massive amount of text record, okay, that needed to not be destroyed. So he goes through this whole history of the lawsuit, and it doesn't really matter a whole lot of, you know, how long it took. But then the basic problem, as you all know, is that Jonathan Owens had said, told us, you know, told me on the radio, that, you know, he was working one day and he came back to his office and discovered that there was basically a thumb drive in his office. He didn't know where it came from, didn't know how he got it, didn't know who gave it to him. And that this had been an ongoing mystery of how did the text messages get from Jeff's phone onto the county server and then into the possession of people like the PNJ and Jonathan Owens.
He kept a copy.
Oh, here we go.
Yesterday afternoon, we finally got the mystery solved. And it's, you'll see it in the paper tomorrow. No one hacked the system. No one broke in the middle of the night. The director of Escambia County IT kept a copy, put it on his own desktop for whatever reasons. I don't know, probably wanted to read it, look at my family pictures, my vacation pictures. And he kept a copy.
See, that's a great example of a manipulation, right? Do you really think that the IT director kept a copy, first of all, on his personal desk? I mean, that's absurd. On the server, okay? Kept it to look at his family pictures, like this shade of trying to make it look like it was some weird, creepy kind of, like, that's all part of the manipulation persona that Jeff Bergosh is constantly putting on, right? Is trying to fabricate things that make other people look weird or silly or whatever. And again, that's just not the kind of thing truth tellers say. So why did he keep it? Well, it's a public record. You just don't delete public records. And if you sign off on a waiver, you know, if you give permission to the IT department to have a record, there's actually a provision in Florida law that says you forfeit your right to control the privilege in that information. Now, does that mean that out into the public we should be putting people's passport photos or social security numbers? These are things that he claims are in the data. No, probably not. But at the same time, if somebody makes a public records request and says, hey, you know, Jeff told me that there's, or Jeff said in public that there's this text data, there's a copy of that, I'd like a copy of it. It's not really, you know, the IT's department doesn't go through that line by line. They don't then go to the lawyer. They don't go to the administrator. They just give the stuff out because that's their job, is to give out the record. It's very common for IT to give out a record. They do it all the time for people when they bring a request to them. In fact, a lot of times they come with anonymous requests. And you say, well, why didn't they go ask the person? Because people who want to make anonymous requests are supposed to be able to make anonymous requests. You may recall that there was a case where somebody made and tried to make an anonymous request, and then I believe it was Commissioner Barry, like, went out of his way to try to unmask the person to find out who it was. Why would you care? It's a public record. Just satisfy the request. I mean, that's kind of the weird stuff that goes on around here. Anyway, we'll continue with this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still no accidents to let you know about, but we are seeing some slowdown if you're at 9 Mile and Highway 29. Just turning on to 29 north and southbound, you're going to see some delays. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, one of the things that Commissioner Bergosh continues to always say is that, you know, none of this would have happened if Bart Siders and IT hadn't made copies. Well, they had to make copies, for example, to have it available on the service. I could give a copy to his aide, Deborah Kinney, which is how it happened, because he was out of the country at the time after they finished downloading the information off of the iCloud account that he had locked himself out of. But also, they needed a copy to check the software to make sure the software works properly, because the possibility that could have created something in error. Also, it was a system that they were kind of, they had not had it before, and they had bought it. This I forget the name of it now. I said before, they were comparing it to see if it was better than the Smart system that the county uses for its own phones. There's all kinds of reasons to have a copy of it. And again, the basic premise is, I don't want to be guilty of deleting a public record, right? Once it exists, okay.
Not only that, he knew, because I told him to delete it, he knew there was all kinds of sensitive information.
No, he knew that there was public records of massive volumes on there. It wasn't made clear that there was all this private stuff on there. And he didn't get told. Nobody got told. I mean, this account that they were told to delete it is false. But he keeps saying, again, I wasn't in the conversation, but I'm going based on what I know, okay, what I consider to be reliable information. And I think he's completely fabricated this story about telling them to delete it.
I find out now, yesterday afternoon, new news, Pam, for you too, brand new news, that within a week and a half of that copy being made, someone called him, anonymous call, but he recognized the voice. It was Jonathan Owens saying, I want a copy of it. This is the director of IT for Escambia County, a guy you gotta trust. A guy I've known for 20 years, coached with him.
Well, a guy that you coached one time for one season for a couple of months on some, like, little league team 15 years ago. It's not the same as, like, my lifelong friend that I was in, you know, the Hajai Shrine with. You know, that I was in a crew with. I mean, he makes it sound like they were best friends or something. And again, it's just all part of this manipulation for the betrayal. Oh, woe is me. My best friend betrayed me.
So what did he do? Did he call the lawyer and say, hey, there's been a public records request for a backup that I made to save public records? No, he didn't. He met him in the parking garage. He met Jonathan Owens in the parking garage and gave him the complete backup.
You don't have a standard practice. There's actually no standard practice. There's no policy governing how this stuff gets done. That was one of the mistakes that was apparently made by the state attorney's office in their letter. By the way, there was this letter that he's that he doesn't mention, but that was written by Greg Marcille to Jeff, among other things, talking about why they're not prosecuting Jonathan Owens because there's been no crime committed. There's no evidence of a crime committed. There's no intent involved and insufficient evidence. And that's where it came out that, you know, the IT staff were the ones who had maintained this. The whole parking garage thing, you mean like the door to the elevator that's right on the other side of the entrance to the parking garage where there is a camera so that it could actually be on record what happened as opposed to being hiding out in like deep throat in the corner of the garage in some secret shadow somewhere? It's, again, all the manipulation involved in all of this, okay?
It's not just text messages. It's not just Jeff Bergosh. It's not just me. It's not just my family. There are 20 citizens implicated with this information. Social security numbers, full color pictures of passports, driver's licenses, 3 years worth of your phone, 1,600 pictures.
Okay, but this is theoretically in the hands of at least two people, right? Jonathan Owens and the PNJ. And has any of that been used inappropriately or leaked out or used to their disadvantage? And the answer is no, right?
Yesterday I find...
That doesn't mean it's good, okay? I'm not defending the open availability of that information. I'm just saying that, you know, in the grand scheme of harm, no harm yet, right? Okay?
Yesterday I find out that it was essentially the county that did it, the director of IT. And he said, well, apparently, he knew it was criminal. He was given immunity. That's why he testified. So other people have lied, said they had no idea where it came from. It showed up on the desk. Showed up under the door. They knew. Jonathan Owens knew it contained data he was not entitled to and he has no authorization to possess. How do we know he knows that? Because he went on the radio and said it.
Yeah, I mean, he told me that on the air. So here's the one part of this we don't have, I think, in my mind, I don't have good clarity about. You have the one account that Jonathan told me, and I will tell you that I have, to my knowledge, I have never been told anything false by Jonathan Owens. It would be out of character for him. But at the same time, you've got this investigation from the state attorney's office that says that Bart Sider said that Jonathan asked for it. He gave it to Jonathan in person in the parking garage or whatever. I don't know what the truth of that is. I'm frustrated because I don't know what the truth of that is. Either somebody's lying or somebody misremembers or somebody's confused. I don't know. It doesn't really matter all that much. Okay. Because that's not the point. The point was once it was out in the open, what you did to get it back by using county resources to prosecute private individuals and suppress a newspaper from publishing things in violation of Florida's anti-SLAPP statutes that the judge recognized was a personal interest to you, not a county interest. Those are the important parts. And that you continue to lie about everything surrounding all of this. So
I don't think we should pay either. I agree with Larry Downs. Very rarely do I agree with him, but I agree with him. I don't think we ought to pay it either. I think we should send the latest information from the investigation to this judge. He may not change his ruling, but in his ruling, he said he didn't think the county had any possessory interest.
And they still don't.
Well, we now know the county had all the possessory interest. They created and established their possessory interest when the head of IT for Escambia County unilaterally stole those files because make no mistake about it, that's what he did. That's why he lied to me.
So you went to him, well, them, because it's two of them, you know, James McCaslin's the other one and Bart Sider. You went to them and they solved your problem for you, but in the process they created a version of this file that they kept on the county servers as is normal, and then later satisfied apparently a public records request for the information, which is normal, but they stole the information that came from the phone that you commingled your public behavior and your private behavior and your... Why did you have social security numbers on there anymore? And why did you have any of this compromising photos of people's passports? Why did you keep that stuff on your phone if it's supposedly, you know, sensitive and important information? But no, nevertheless, you kept all that on your phone. And then when you got yourself locked out of the phone, you sent it to IT where they did you a favor and bought a program in order to create a backup of this stuff that you had lost. But they're the ones to blame? When you gave them permission to have it and all they did was go through the normal process of keeping a copy of a public record that they might have been asked about subsequently to provide to somebody? It's interesting the way things get phrased.
When I found out on June 1st of 2023 that these had been stolen, my first call was to Bart. I've known him 20 years. And I said, Bart, What happened? What's going on? Jeff, I have no idea. I have no idea. But he was a liar. He was lying. And we found out only when he was given immunity and put under oath at the state attorney's office that he was the leak. So the county definitely has a possessory interest, Pam. 100%.
Well, I will say somebody's lying. And, you know, we've got some fairly reputable people here, James McCaslin and Bart Siders, and I will vouch for Jonathan Owens. And we've got other people who are very commonly caught lying, manipulating, massaging, omitting, misdescribing things. And, yeah, so last one on this for the moment. We'll come back to this again next hour. But he says, look, we shouldn't pay any money here. We shouldn't pay these people out. The judge, meanwhile, says, no, it's a violation of the anti-SLAPP statute. You guys are going to have to pay their attorney's fees. We haven't yet found a final ruling from the judge. We're still waiting on that. By the way, just as a side note, one of the interesting notes on this anti-SLAPP provision is if the county pays and is found to be in the wrong of violating and suppressing free speech, that has to be reported to the cabinet of the state of Florida. Because county governments or city governments are not supposed to suppress free speech and violate the anti-SLAPP statute. So when this is all said and done, the names of all the commissioners and the legal staff involved in this decision are going to be reported to the cabinet of the governor of the state of Florida, because that's part of the provision of the anti-SLAPP statute. As a side note, Jonathan Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're headed westbound coming into Pensacola from Pace on Highway 90, we've got a stalled vehicle on the bridge right there over the Escambia River Bridge. That's causing you a little bit of delay. I believe it's in the left-hand lane, so make sure you get in the right-hand lane. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you're going to have a lot of questions. It's a big process. It's something you don't do very often, so it can feel overwhelming and off-putting. And if you've ever gone through this process before, you know that there's all kinds of things can go wrong getting on your way to the sale or the purchase or whatever. And that's why you want to have a good real estate agent. You want to have somebody who understands the process, understands the market, understands the numbers, how commissions changing like recently because of some court cases they could have changed, how interest rates changing will affect the market, how the market is shifting in your price range and in your geography that you're thinking about buying or selling in, and what's going to happen in that area after you buy it, or, you know, what's going on with getting you through to the sale and solving all of the little hiccups that come in along the way, because, you know, there's always hiccups. That's why you need a good real estate agent. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, fantastic. They sold 175 homes last year. Give her a call. She will help you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Join Jim's Firearms for a 10th anniversary celebration on September 20th and 21st. They're partnering with local favorites like Badass Coffee, Key Nutrition, and more for an unforgettable event. Indulge in delicious food from La Casita Food Truck and 850 Barbecue. But that's not all. They're having numerous firearm raffles with all proceeds benefiting Save Underdogs Rescue. Stop by Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, September 20th and 21st, to celebrate a decade of community support. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. At Costello's, they have all your summertime barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, brisket, pork butts, and so much more. And at Costello's, you will find all the best boar's head sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready for charcuterie boards to chicken salad, and of course the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. Fine wine and cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
You forget about him in Field of Dreams. Just like you forget about him in The Sandlot. You know, major baseball fan. James Earl Jones passed away at the age of 93. The voice of Mustafa and Darth Vader and so many other great roles, whether he was Admiral Greer in person or whether he was behind a mask. David Wayne, do you have a 15-second headline for me?
Well, a state of emergency being issued in Louisiana and Texas ahead of Tropical Storm Francine. That's forecast to strengthen possibly to a Category 2 storm before it makes landfall.
There you go. And we are looking at rain and wind on Wednesday.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The first Trump-Harris debates tonight in Philadelphia. It's been a repeat performance from a former Hillary Clinton aide who played Trump during her debate prep.
The Harris-Trump stand-in the last couple days at debate camp, Philippe Reines, watched old Trump debates with the sound off to get Trump's mannerisms down. And now in the mock debates, he is dressing like Trump as well, according to the New York Times.
Fox's Peter Ducey and Alexandria Hoff in Philadelphia.
Trump is accepting guidance from allies like former Congresswoman and former Democrat Tulsi Gabbard, who shared the debate stage with Harris during the 2020 primary process. Other Republicans have suggested Trump must show restraint, knowing that Harris is likely looking for a moment to have Trump appear like he is disrespecting her.
The debate starts at 9 Eastern, hosted by ABC, simulcast on Fox. Dozens are killed in an Israeli airstrike on a Gaza humanitarian zone targeting Hamas fighters. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 72 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies in Pensacola. School safety top of mind for parents, especially after last week's shooting at Appalachie High School in Georgia. Locally, Escambia school officials say they've been focusing on safety with monthly drills at schools and equipping threat management teams at each school to address concerns and possible threats. School safety specialist Kyle Kinzer with Escambia County Public Schools tells News Radio that every middle and high school is protected by school resource officers. Elementary schools all have guardians on campus.
So we're very proud of the folks that we have working at our schools. These are folks that, you know, we just, if you look at their background, they are highly qualified folks. We have retired law enforcement, retired military folks that, you know, have had very, you know, strong careers. But they're still very young and still have a lot more to you know, contribute to our school district and our community. So we're very proud of the program and the specific people that we have serving in the program.
Kinzer says that while they're focusing on safety in the schools, most of the situations do begin at home. He's encouraging the community to keep an eye out for red flags and continue talking and having conversations. A Pensacola man arrested after allegedly shooting another man in the butt at a local Waffle House on Sunday. This happened at the diner on Brent Lane in Escambia County. A man had reportedly gone to the restaurant, ordered food, and was waiting outside when 24-year-old Daquan Therese Lucky allegedly asked him for money. Now, according to the police report, when the man declined, Lucky is said to have pulled out a gun and shot at him. But that bullet hit a cement post of some type and ricocheted, hit him in the buttocks. The victim ran back inside the store, said he'd been shot, which caused a bit of a panic inside. Customers ran to a bathroom in the back of the store to take shelter. One customer tried to flee from the diner, but was reportedly chased around and then back inside by Lucky, who was at that time, according to the report, beating on the front glass of the store with the gun. Lucky was detained by Escambia County deputies a short time after the incident near the Pensacola Christian Academy. He's now being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail on several charges, including attempted murder and aggravated assault. Louisiana's governor issuing a state of emergency in preparation for Tropical Storm Francine.
Today, we issued a statewide declaration of emergency. This will allow that resources will give us an opportunity for resources to begin to flow.
And the National Hurricane Center says there's the possibility that Francine could strengthen into a Category 2 storm before it makes landfall sometime tomorrow. Governor Ron DeSantis accusing people who collected signatures to place Amendment 4 on the ballot of potentially acting illegally. Amendment 4 asks voters to legalize abortion up until fetal viability and beyond. In some cases, the governor said that one group that collected signatures to get the amendment on the ballot has submitted dozens of petitions with the names of dead people on them. Some of the people who signed the petition have reported getting visits at their homes from the state's election police unit. The governor says the officers are following the law and ensuring anybody who broke the law is held accountable. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents still to let you know about. But if you're traveling into Milton or to downtown Milton into East Milton, you're going to see some delays there, about a 5-minute delay. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
60% chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 81. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. On Wednesday, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Rain chances increase as we go later into your day on Wednesday with a chance of severe weather as Francine makes landfall Wednesday morning. As we go into Wednesday afternoon, things are looking around 79 degrees with a low near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 72 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Are you ready to ignite innovation and drive success in Pensacola? Join Startup Source Pensacola this Thursday for an Entrepreneur Resource Expo at Brownsville Community Center from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is dedicated to empowering our local entrepreneurs and connecting them with essential resources and expertise. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or an established business, come out to connect, share, collaborate. For more information, visit StartupSourcePensacola.com.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
May not be Flash, the savior of the universe, but he is the county administrator in Santa Rosa County, and he's the former emergency management director for the county. Brad Baker always joins us whenever we have a county commission meeting. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Good to have you. Before we do anything else, we do have a storm coming to our west in Louisiana. It looks like it's going to be a Category 2 by the time it makes landfall. My read is we have rain and wind and the outer bands, and therefore maybe the possibility on the dirty side of some tornadoes, possibly Wednesday. But you are the emergency manager. This is stuff that you live and breathe. I don't want to tell them. I want you to tell them. What do you think we're expecting, and how is the county preparing, and what should people be doing?
Yeah, we started our conference calls with the National Weather Service, and you know, just like you said, probably a Category 2, probably be a Category 1, probably the next advisory or you know, late afternoon at the worst, because it's already, you know, winds are near 65 mile an hour sustained now. The further east it goes, and we saw a little east shift in the track today. So, you know, the further east it goes, the worse for us, because it's going to stay over the Gulf longer and not interact with land. So, you know, the potential to get a bigger and wider storm. So probably late Wednesday into Thursday, we'll see the chance for some of those fall lines coming through. And, you know, being on the bad side of the storm, that is where the tornadoes usually spawn up. So, you know, expect to see some tornado watches come up probably in the Thursday time frame.
Yeah, and as you say, the longer it stays over water is because it's getting closer to us and it's getting intensified because it doesn't have land to interfere. So, okay, yeah, that's what I had read, and I just wanted to make sure I was with you. And I assume you guys are going through normal preparations of, you know, just in case, and what if the worst happens? And
we are.
You know, because things – my impression is that the storms used to wiggle and wobble and move a lot compared to the tracks on the cone. It seems like in the last couple of years, we've actually gotten very good at predicting paths. And even though they can still shift and move, it's not that same kind of dramatic uncertainty that we had even like Sally era and before. Is that your same sense?
Yeah, they are. They're getting better at, you know, the location, and they've done some tweaks to their cones. And so you have a little better, even though it's a cone of uncertainty, it's a little better, you know, science into the modeling. What they haven't figured out is the intensity side of it yet. So you've seen a lot of the intensities change rapidly. And, you know, that side of the modeling just needs some, you know, better defining.
You know,
and I'm not a meteorologist, but it takes into a lot of account. But you've seen a lot of intensity kind of change from where, I mean, going back to Michael, you know, I mean, that intensity went from a tropical storm to a Cat 5 literally in a matter of a few hours, and the modeling wasn't calling for that.
Right. No, that's a good note. I hadn't been paying attention to that, so I really appreciate that bit of information that we can fairly reliably have confidence in the path, but the intensity is one that we've got to be a little bit more open to that being wildly wrong sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then also pay attention. You know, there's some more stuff out there in the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right about that.
Trying to stay in tune to that. And we were seeing a lot of Saharan dust models, one that I like to watch. There was a lot of Saharan dust out over that Atlantic basin, and it's kind of started to dissipate. So anytime they pull dry air, which is, you know, at least in my mind, while we haven't had as active of a season as they were predicting, you know, they weren't counting on all that dust being out there being sucked into these systems, which essentially just dry it up.
I wanted to get to some of the stuff that was on the agenda yesterday and will be on the agenda on Thursday. I know, you know, Kerry Smith, because of the election where you had two people who were opposed to impact fees have gotten voted out and two people who are in favor of impact fees got voted in, has advocated for decoupling the local option sales tax renewal and increase with the impact fees as it currently is. Because right now, impact fees will go into effect if the local option sales tax item passes. And if it doesn't, they won't. And he just wanted to go ahead and pass the impact fees now, right?
That is correct. And ultimately, that did not get enough to proceed to Thursday. But I think the important thing is to help people understand it, because, you know, there's a lot of confusion out there. The board did vote 3-2 to install impact fees, and then it voted 4-1 to do it tied to the vote. So I do think in talking with the commissioner-elects that have come in and talking with our board, I do feel like the impact fees are coming. We could not undo the ballot language, So I believe Commissioner Wright was, you know, they were thinking he's going to be the swing vote on changing it now. And his thought was, we don't muddy the water with changing something that we can't change the ballot language. So
that's a good point. Right.
It's tied to that. So I do want to just get the point across is it was a 3-2 vote that we're going to implement impact fees. It's just a matter of the timing of that. So, and with the two new members, I feel confident after meeting with them that will be on the agenda, no matter the vote, but it is an important vote for Santa Rosa County. You know, we're asking for the additional half cent. The way it's worded, it has to be a 1 cent just because the way Department of Revenue made us put it on there. We can't ask for 2 half cents. We have to ask for the whole cent. But we have the half cent in place, generating around $15 million. It goes to roads, parks, public safety, fire department, sheriff's department. We built a lot of capital improvement projects with it. The important vote is the additional half cent, because that gives us $15 to $16 million annually to put straight to roads. And, you know, we have lots of projects, whether that's Woodbine Road, whether that's Bear Hill widening, Shamucca Highway widening of our access road. I mean, there is a list of traffic improvements we need to do that we could make significant improvements in the next 5 to 10 years, where if we don't have that, it's probably a 30 to 40 year plan of what to be able to fund it.
That makes sense. And it is a good reminder to people that even though the language says 1%, it's an existing 0.5%, adding a 0.5% to that, making it for a total of 1%. And even if that doesn't pass, impact fees are coming because of the nature of the board, which is actually, that's a really good note. You know, Brad Baker, I know you're working on a lot of different things. We've got Tibet Drive is under construction. We've got the Highway 90 at Woodbine is under construction, at least the water pond there. You guys are having an ongoing conversation about an MSBU countywide for lighting, and also you're talking about walking dogs at Tiger Point and maybe elsewhere. So these are all good conversations that we're looking forward to have more of on Thursday at the county commission meeting, the regular county commission meeting. Brad, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for the perspective on storms. I super appreciate the work you do. I know it's a lot, and I appreciate you sharing it with us, man.
No problem, Andrew. We all have a good day.
All right, you too. 647 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some delays at 9 Mile and Highway 29 and 9 Mile and Old Palafox, so just be prepared for that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need career change, like you need to go get educated and get a career change, Pensacola State College, they can help you with that. Maybe you want to learn more about history or physics or astronomy or art, Pensacola State College for personal enrichment, right? Or maybe you are a high school student and you like to do dual enrollment, and that allows you to, for free, like no cost, take college courses, get college and high school credit, no book cost even, all of that stuff is covered. My boys, all three of them have done this at PSC. It's been a great resource for my family. They went to university, two of them did, with a year and a half worth of college credit under their belt, which is great, so they can graduate early and get on with their life. But also, PSC is like student-oriented. It's really focused on teachers who love to teach and being customer-oriented, multiple class sections and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just telling you, dual enrollment is a great deal that if you can take advantage of it, take advantage of it. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock, on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen,
So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Steel isn't strong, boy. Flesh is stronger.
With a purple umbrella and a 50-cent hand.
All right, Don, I have to ask. I know you know the voice of James Earl Jones, who has sadly passed away at the age of 93, but do you know the movie? Is that when you recognize?
I was thinking Lion King, but I was trying to put it somewhere. It sounded older, too.
Think James. It is older, from 82. James Earl Jones with super long hair. James Earl Jones with, like, mid-back length hair as an evil warlord.
Oh, you got me.
Conan the Barbarian. Everybody forgets that he was Thulsa Doom in Conan the Barbarian.
You're right.
Yeah, but yeah, no.
You had the answer,
great
though.
Role. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
It's super sad news about James Earl Jones.
So it is, but I always say this. At 93, he had a long life.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, he had a prolific acting and voice work career, and he made all of our lives better. I'm sad he's gone, but I'm grateful that we had all the blessings and benefit of a stutterer as a kid, you know, who winds up being James Earl Jones. What? You know, it's amazing.
Just iconic. There's not a person, not a man alive who has not tried to imitate his voice at some point.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and you know what's funny? Such a powerful vocal presence in the entertainment world that I bet if you asked 100 people who's the voice of Arby's, 99 of them say James Earl Jones. It's actually Ving Rhames. But nobody knows that. Because, you know, they sort of sound fairly similar, I mean, to some degree, right? You know, but that's an example of everybody knows who James Earl Jones is. Ving Rhames, what is he? You know, what's that? Pulp Fiction? Anyway, go ahead, David.
How many people have pulled this off, winning an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony?
Mm.
I mean, that's...
Yes, that's right. That's, we don't think about his Broadway work because...
Absolutely.
Think of him as the... Right, yeah.
But other than James Earl Jones... The debate between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris, now just hours away today. It'll be the first time they've debated one another, and apparently the first time they've met in person as well. That'll be on ABC tonight. That's what it says.
Come on.
The first time they've met in person.
That cannot be true.
No, maybe they had coffee or something.
Maybe
they had
don't
to meet
hang
at, like,
out in
White
the same
House
social
changeover
circles.
Or something. Nothing? They've never met? Wow, okay.
And then have you seen this video about the police video, body cam video of Tyreek Hill's stop
in
Miami? I have.
I watched the first 6 minute one. I didn't watch the other like 57 minutes that have been released.
Right. Well, police have released the video of Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill's traffic stop in Miami Gardens on Sunday.
All right, bro, take me to jail, bro. Do what you got to do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, good, bro.
It is good.
Hey,
don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. Stop crying.
And apparently he was on his way to the game Sunday. He was speeding. The video shows an officer asking him to roll down his window. He didn't want to roll down the window. And
the
then,
officer's knocking on the window.
Right, and then that's when they pulled him out of the car. And
okay, so how much of it did you watch? Did you watch all of it? Or
I watched the
six-minute one?
Yeah, the shorter version, yeah.
So this cop was out for a fight. This cop definitely did not take chances to de-escalate.
They got aggressive fairly quick.
And he got aggressive with multiple different people, including fellow players and a guy on the sidewalk and with Tyreek Hill. Look, I'm not saying Tyreek Hill did everything great, but he didn't do anything to deserve getting yanked out of the car. He didn't deserve do anything to get thrown on the ground and get handcuffed. And the level of aggression from this cop, who they're not saying it's him who's been on administrative leave, but I would have put that cop on administrative leave. Absolutely. And, you know, what's the most concerning about this, to me, the most concerning about the story is the only reason that it got handled this way is because it was Tyreek Hill and because we got all the video and because he's driving a McLaren and other players. I worry what would have happened if it had just been some kid on the street somewhere, you know, probably right. Not driving a McLaren, but still, like, you know, it shouldn't have been because it was Tyreek Hill that other cops were kind of like, hey, man, you know who that is? You know, it every citizen deserves that treatment and no citizen should have to deal with this. So, yeah, and I'm a huge defender of the police. This was wrong. There were many, many ways in which that cop in particular did it wrong. So I'm sorry, I editorialized a little bit your news story. But
no, that's all right.
Anything else you wanted to, or is that the only one?
That's it for now.
All right. 437-1620. John, you've seen it. Did you have any thoughts? You've watched some of this video, right?
I've seen like three different body cams from three different officers. And I agree with you. It shouldn't have got and escalated so quickly.
He was picking a fight.
Right, and all the other, you know, players that had stopped had their hands up like, we're trying to de-escalate this. You know?
And again, I just, you know.
But also, I'm not an officer and I wasn't there.
That's true.
So, you know, I've got the utmost respect for them.
But you just, you know, when I watch it, knowing all the years of interviews of cops that I have done and thinking about what I think is normal and what the job of the police is in that situation. I mean, Grant, you know, he was a little rude, but that's it.
Right.
He was not yank me out of the car, throw me on the ground, handcuff me in front of everybody, and then menace all the other people who show up. He wasn't that rude. That was inappropriate. Sorry, go ahead. You got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents still, but we're seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound as you head from Pine Forest to Highway 29. That's going into and out of the construction zone. We're seeing some delays, just volume traffic right there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, we got texts in. People saying they love James Earl Jones on Big Bang Theory. Somebody recognized the Conan reference. For you younger people, that's Conan the Barbarian, not Conan the Late Night Host. Although even that, probably not for you young folks. It's probably for you middle-aged folks. We're not working with three generations. Oh, and Andrew's Pulp Fiction reference not go unnoticed. My windshield now has coffee spots. Hey. Oh, you know how to get that clean? Just bring out the GIMP. 658. Oh, that's going to make more coffee stains. 437-1620. Sorry. I couldn't really resist at that point. That was kind of all I could do. This business with the debate and whether the mics are going to... There's so much kabuki theater. Do you know that... So the negotiating over with Biden was whether to have the mics on or not, to protect Biden from Trump's bullying was the idea. That's why you mute the mics. That's why you don't have the crowd, so they can't play to the crowd, right? So then they get all these rules put in for Biden. Now Kamala Harris, who is, they say, a gifted orator and debater. I've yet to see it. But yeah, she's not Biden. Okay, she's better than that for sure. He used to be. They want that release so that she can fact check him and engage with him. Well, now they're stuck with the old rules that they think are going to make it harder for her. And she's had this whole debate strategy to fact check him. And now they got to pivot because he won't be able to do it. Whatever. That's all expectation setting. We're not prepared for this debate. How hard do you have to work for a debate, but you're ready to be president on day one? Anyway. But reporters are going to be like in the wings. able to report on the mic muted conversations. So we'll get like third hand afterwards what was really being said. This is all so ridiculous. I mean, this, and by the way, they have the ability to leave the mics open if they start doing a substantial crosstalk. I just think it's going to be a hot mess.